How many of you cadets went on that campery this year? Was it as good fun as it looked? Because when I went on campery, we had to go uphill there and back again. You know, on top of the mountain. Look like you had fun. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, and also open your Bibles to Psalm 139. Put your finger in Psalm 139, but we'll look at Luke 19 first as we begin our message this evening. And I will talk to the cadets and their counselors mostly tonight, but also to you as a congregation. But I just want to let you guys know something about me tonight. I hate being lost. Ever since I was a little kid, I do not like knowing which way to get home. To be honest, my parents said at times they would put me in the car. I would sit up front in the car because we could sit in the front seat back then. And we'd sit up front in the car, right? And I'd watch where we're going, where we go, and how to get back home, because I did not want to get lost. I don't know if I got lost when I was a little kid at one time or something, but it was so important to me to know the way home. Even today, as I got older, my wife could tell you this, every time we got off a plane or we went somewhere, I always wanted to know what the direction was to get home. I would carry a compass with me so that I would know how to check that, which way I had to walk if everything fell apart to get home. Now we have these fancy phones that tell us GPS, and I could find my way home. In fact, when I was a cadet first, who's in the first year of cadetting? They use it as a verb on there, so that was kind of cool. Anybody, first year, you guys right here? Well, look, raise your hand. Be proud of that, right? When I was a cadet the first year, what they did with us is they took us to Oak Grove. One of the first times I went to Oak Grove. We get to Oak Grove, and there was cadets from Rock Valley, cadets from different places, and we had an overnight camp out, and we played Capture the Flag. And as we're playing Capture the Flag, right, we're looking around and doing things, and this guy says to me, hey, from Rock Valley, this cat from Rock Valley, he said, come this way, I know how to get to their flag. So we jumped off the trail into the woods, and before we knew it, we're kind of turned around, we're kind of lost, and he turns to me and goes, I don't know where I am. He's from Rock Valley. And he started to freak out. And I'm thinking, it's Oak Grove. Now, all of us know that in Oak Grove, if you need to find anywhere, what do to find the river? You go downhill, right? Well, I didn't know that at the time. So I'm sitting there watching this kid freak out. I miss my mom. We're here for 3 minutes, dude. Right? Why are you getting so good? So what I did is I thought, I got to do what Daniel Boone did. Because Daniel Boone, I watched those old videos, and he climbs up in a tree to see and get some perspective and see where he's going, and then he comes down and he knows exactly what to do. So I climbed up in the tree, and I got up into the tree, and I'm looking out of the tree, and all of a sudden I said, shh, be quiet. Because he's like, it's getting dark, you know, getting to supper time, and it's dark in the woods, and I'm thinking, he's thinking about bears. I'm like, what? And Oak Grove. And we're there, and I all of a sudden I said, be quiet. I could hear the other cadets over by the river. And I caught a glimpse as the wind blew between the trees as I'm up in the street of the river. So I knew the direction we had to go in. So I went down and we got to where we needed to go. From that point on, I loved orienteering because I got to learn how to use a compass as a cadet. I got to learn how to figure out where to go, how to go, read a map. I loved doing that. And then when I got to the Army, I got to do that even more. I got to learn how to read maps. I learned how to call in fire for artillery using maps. I just enjoyed it because I was a scout, and I got to help use maps, read maps, follow maps, navigating at night by compass. Other guys didn't like it. I loved it. I could spend all day doing it. You guys were orienteering at the International Camperia. I saw you have the GPS. Makes it so much easier because you try orienteering with one of these things, and you get off your azimuth, next thing you know, you are lost, right? And when we were in International Campery, we had to worry about, where was the International Campery? But that's where we were. Wow, that's crazy. I thought it looked familiar. No, I'm joking. But we were out there. Did you guys have to worry about buffalo? See, we did. It was tougher back then. All right? So tonight, we're going to talk about being lost. We're going to talk about what being lost means. So that's our first point. What does it mean to be lost? We're going to talk about how we're found. And we're going to talk about, thirdly, how we can keep from being lost. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 19 first. Luke chapter 19 first. And before we look at the text, let's pray a moment. Father, we come before you this evening. And we ask, dear Lord, that as we read this text, as we read your words, as we look at this story, this event in history between Jesus and Zacchaeus, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Because Zacchaeus was lost, and you came to find him. You sought after him. And now he is yours. And someday, one day, we get to meet him. And I ask, dear Lord, that you would speak to us. So if there's any of us who are lost, confused, if any of us struggle with life, that you would help us not to be lost, that we would hear your voice tonight. We'd hear your truth, and we'd hear how you love us so much that you come to find us, even in the middle of our pain and agony and in our lostness. So Lord, speak to us that we might live for you. We pray in Jesus' name, and we say together, amen. Zacchaeus the tax collector, chapter 19 of Luke, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The word of the Lord. The first thing tonight we're going to talk about, because Jesus says, "I came to seek and save the lost." What does it mean to be lost? And we could assume that Zacchaeus, before he met Jesus, was someone who was lost. He was somebody who was lost, we could say, maybe in the world. So who was Zacchaeus? He was, as you look at Scripture, he was an outsider. He was a Jew by birth. But he was on the outside of things, because he has chosen a way of gaining in life by being a tax collector. Not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. He was one who was a traitor in the eyes of the Jews, because he was collecting taxes for Rome. And so they rejected him, want nothing to do with him. So first off, he's kind of lost because he doesn't belong, in a sense, to the people of Israel. He doesn't belong to their circles. And maybe it was because he was short. I don't know. Maybe they looked upon him as somebody that was an oddball. But he was also lost because he was someone who saw that life was to be found in riches. He was wealthy. We can assume also from the text that he maybe more than likely cheated people out of money, because that's how tax collectors received their pay. He wanted power. In a sense, he was in that wild of the world, survival of the fittest, away from God, away from his purpose in life. Maybe he didn't think that that he added up in the world. See, many people in the world are like this. They're lost in the wild, away from God, away from Jesus, away from the life he has for them, the one he calls them to. A life, as we have learned at Faith, that is meant to bear his glory, to bear his truth, his grace, to make him known in the world today, to make him known in the world back then. But today, people like Zacchaeus are looking for ways for them to feel not lost, to feel maybe complete, to feel like they belong, to have significance and meaning. Trevin Wax, in a book that I'm reading entitled "This Is Our Time," talks about the stories this world tells us in order for us to find our lives in, because it's always offering something to us. And he tells us that one is a story of our technology and our phones and the significance it says that we receive from it. And he talks about the fact that it is a barometer in somebody's life of how accepted, how they matter, and their significance, based on how often they're liked, how often they're connected to, how often people connect to them upon their devices, their computers, what have you. In other words, life is found through this technology. Their significance is found in it, and it is a lie. A lie the world tells them, but behind that story is a desire to be more, a desire to be something. As the author, Trevin Wax, says, is people do these things. They're looking for something, as Zacchaeus was looking for something. And Zacchaeus found his significance in the world, in what it offered. And because of that, he was lost. And just so you don't think that this lostness is just somewhat sort of a bad condition, that he wandered away and kind of got lost, kind of an innocent kind of thing, something that's, you know, not so bad, it's just that he got to be found. The word lost in the Greek means to perish. It means to destroy. It means to render useless, put an end to something, to give over to eternal misery. In other words, lost means that he is on a road to destruction and a living a life that is empty. He is headed towards a deep darkness. It's not an innocent kind of loss. It's a bad thing, a very bad thing, and there is no way for him to get out. There's no way for us, for humanity, to get out of the lostness that we have, whether we're alone or together. We cannot find our way. We cannot build our way out of it. We cannot have this great society that could be on its own, and everyone's going to feel found, and we're going to have, in a sense, our own salvation. We're always going to come up short. We never can do it, because it is not going to be found in humanity. It's not going to be found in you. It's not going to be found in me. So the question, the second point that we talk about tonight is, how is one found? How are you found? And the short answer is by Jesus. Because it would seem that the only one who cared for Zacchaeus is Zacchaeus. And yet Jesus knew him before he even met him. Ain't that neat? Jesus walks into Jericho. Zacchaeus is curious, and I'll talk about that moment. And he can't see. He's looking around, jumping around, and so he runs ahead. This rich man, this wealthy man, this short man, who wants respect, climbs a tree, as children might, and sits there and waits to see what Jesus is going to do. And Jesus is walking down the road and stops at that tree where Zacchaeus is. Can you imagine the people? And he points up and he looks up. Zacchaeus calls him by name. Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. I need to come to your house today. Jesus was seeking after Zacchaeus. He was coming to Jericho, in a sense, to meet him. Stops there and calls him down by name. See, I believe that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, was already pricking Zacchaeus' heart. It was already making him curious, making him wonder, maybe, just maybe. Can't tell you how many times in church planning and evangelism when you meet somebody and all of a sudden they start asking you questions because their heart's being pricked. Their heart's being touched. God in the Spirit is already setting up things, and all you got to do is deliver the message, because he's got it already going in their hearts and in their minds. It's amazing. See, that Jesus did this. He's just curious. He's thinking, maybe Jesus is the answer. Maybe he says, I have all I want, and yet I don't feel whole. You know how many people there are out there in the world like this? I met a girl one time on a mission trip to Honduras for 3 weeks. It was a swim team. And this girl, she was a very beautiful girl, and she finally came to me halfway through, and she says, are you telling me that all the work I did for the last 4 years of high school, getting to the top of the social pyramid, making myself the most popular girl in my school, was not worth it? And I said, what is God saying? I've met people who had everything, houses, cars, stuff upon stuff, and yet they were lonely, they were sad, they were broken, and they had nothing in their hearts. I've met people going 100 miles per hour in life, trying to take it all in and finding it all comes up short. I think Zacchaeus is like that. Trying to grab life, trying to find significance, as we said, trying to find what it means, find meaning in it, and yet he's still lost. But I think that, and praise God for this, that Jesus was seeking him. As he seeks you, as he seeks me, as he seeks the lost in our world. That the Father in heaven sends his Holy Spirit before him. Sends his Holy Spirit in people's hearts. And through that Spirit's pricking of their hearts, they start to say, is there something about this Jesus? Is there something about him that matters? That I can find my life in him? Zacchaeus wondered that same thing, and Jesus makes him curious. I mean, you know what's happening in the Muslim world today? People and missionaries are encountering Muslims who already know who Jesus is because they're sitting there learning about Jesus because they're dreaming about who he is. And Jesus is coming into their dreams. My wife and I took Perspectives in Missions. Remember that long time ago, Mary Beth? I'm getting to that age where I can say long time ago. It's kind of neat. But Perspectives in Missions is this really long mission thing. And the missionary, old missionary, gets up there and tells a story about an idol maker. And the idol maker had learned how to make the idols for his village or his town for generations. His family made the idols. And so as he's making these idols, one day he makes a mistake. He's been trained by his grandfather and dad how to make these idols exactly the way they need to be. And so he's making them, and he makes a mistake. He changes God of that village in essence. And still someone comes in that day, and they take that idol, maybe pay him, not sure, and leave his house, his hut, whatever, go home, put that God up in their house, and worship it. So the idol maker starts doing it. He subtly starts changing the idols over years. Makes little differences. And in about 5 years' time, those idols are totally different than when they were 5 years ago. No one's noticed, and people are still buying them, taking them home, and worshiping them. And so the guy starts to wonder, if I can change God with my hands, who made my hands? Well, that missionary was telling the story in that year, ended up coming to that village. And the village elders gathered together, and they gathered on seats and benches, and they're in the back, and in the thing, and in this building, or outside by this place, I'm not sure where it was, and through an interpreter, that missionary said, the first thing I said, I want you to consider the God who made your hands. And in the back row, this guy fell off the bench, and he didn't know what to do. He was so scared. And he became a believer. Because God was already connecting. Through the Holy Spirit, showing him through life, throwing the experience, working it out, saying, and questioning, is who's made my hands? God is doing those kind of things in our life and in our world today. Your text is Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. You and I, as his church, just to get to be part of what he's doing. And I got to tell you, it's fun. It is a joy. It is exciting. And there are times that I know Faith Church probably goes, oh, here he goes again, talking about that. I can't stop talking about it. It is the most wondrous thing that we have been given to do as Christians, as cadets, as people of God, to search and be part of. Doesn't it say somewhere in the song, Living for Jesus, right? That we get to help those who need to find God. Right? Doesn't it say in a verse? You're shaking your head, right? Isn't it verse 3? Okay, all right. We sang it earlier tonight, right? But we get to be part of what he's doing. See, we get to bring on the counterbalance to the word loss. Loss is such a bad word. It's such an ugly word. It's such a word that means destruction and pain and disorder and uselessness. And yet, there is the word seek and save. That word seek is not just somebody walking around, hey, look, I tried to find this. Oh, hey, you're an interesting person. Let me come and join you, that kind of thing. The word seek in the Greek is a determined thing. It's not lackadaisical approach. It's not a half-hearted effort. It's not an endeavor lacking in spirit, but a determined desire to find what you're looking for, a striving after. In other words, God is passionate about seeking and saving the lost. God is passionate about you. He's passionate about me. He found us, didn't he? We've been found. We don't have the stories about, you know, that we sometimes hear, but we've been found because through our parents, he's working. Through your church, through your school, through those people in your life, he's working. He's telling you, hey, there's a life for you. He's calling you to it. And it's a big adventure, as they said in the video, to live for him, to be that person that he is not only going to seek and find, but he will save. The word save is so much more, too. It means to rescue from destruction, which was the lost part of it. But it also means to make whole, to heal, to rescue, like rescue, but to persevere. And it means that one is made whole brings new life. Brings a whole other way of being. Think of Zacchaeus. What did he do? The first thing was, always with a sinner. I give half my possessions to the poor. He's a wealthy man. And if I've cheated, I will pay them back four times as much. Salvation has come to this house. Not because he earned it, but because that action and those words and what he said to do showed a heart that had changed, a heart that had been saved, and now he's living that new life already. Will he be perfect? No. But he'll live as Christ calls him to live. This is what God is doing. Changing lives. Making things new. Seeking and saving the lost. And I got to tell you, if you get to be involved in something like that, when new life comes, it is addicting to be part of. It's one of the reasons it just was. Church planting was so exciting. You got to see God change people and be part of that change, and you get to see how their lives just become different. And I could tell story upon story upon story. And we get to be part of that. He's doing this right now, today, and he'll do this until the end of time, seeking after saving people that are lost. But some of you might ask, can someone be too lost? Can someone be too far down a path that there's no way back? And that answer is ultimately God's to answer in each person's life. But I want you to take that finger that you put at Psalm 139 and turn there a moment. Psalm 139, my favorite text in the Bible. I want you to start, I'm going to start at verse 7, and I'm actually going to read not through verse 12, I'm going to read through verse 16. Verse 7 of Psalm 139 through verse 16. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. And night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. And my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. There is nowhere any of us can go. No depth, no darkness that we can get lost, that God cannot find us. I know this to be true because I chose to get lost. Soon as high school got over, I had to make that profession of faith, and I made profession of faith to get out of Dodge because I wanted adventure. I wanted to see the world. I mean, I grew up in Sioux County. I wanted to see the world, right? I wanted to see what was out there. So I grew up in that, and I wanted to get out, and I joined the United States Army, and I thought I had found my adventure, thinking that the wild of the world, in a sense, or what the world had to offer, what I was looking for. It was a story that I thought was my story, the story that I needed to write for myself. And I got lost in those woods. I enjoyed it, didn't even know I was lost. And I got into a bunch of stuff of destructive things. And if I would have continued down that path, who knows where I'd be today. But God found me because God knew me. God had a plan for my life. I didn't have this plan for my life. He had the plan for my life. The only one who knew that plan was Grandma. Because she kept telling me, this is what you're going to do. And I said, no, Grandma. She actually got to tell me, I told you so. God finds us. Because he's seeking after us. Even in the middle of dark places that I thought or we think we are hell well hidden in. And there's more to that story, and I could tell you more of how that happened, but we don't have the time for that. But I want you to know that if you're lost, he's going to find you. He's seeking after you even today. Because we serve a God who loves us and knows us, and nothing can keep him from seeking and finding and saving us. No matter how much darkness is in our life or how much darkness we wrap around ourselves, he's calling right now, in fact, today. And maybe some of you cadets, haven't answered that call. Maybe you think he doesn't care about you. Maybe you think that life is found in someplace else. Maybe you think that you don't matter at all and there's no hope for you. To be honest, he's right here calling even at this moment. He's calling you by name and he says, I have a plan for you. I love you and I have a life for you to live. So listen to it. And lastly, we need to learn how not to come lost. Because as we live this life, there's so many things in this world that come at us that all of a sudden we start to get off the trail or away from where we need to be. I think for many of us, we know what that's like. We know it's easy to step into something. The next thing you know, you get turned around into a place you don't know where to look. We can be influenced by so many things. That destructive path is right there, and it looks good, it looks cool, it looks important, it looks right even. And yet it leads to death. And even though Jesus is calling, there's other things out there calling. We have the world calling, sin calling, the devil calling. Our old nature calls us. Just live life the way you want it. Live it in the darkness. Live it in the wild. Your story is the one I'm giving you, not the one God has for you. Write your own story because your own story is the best story. Don't take up his story, what he wants. What he has is confining. What he has is by the rules. And what he has is narrow. God's grace is so bountiful and the life of adventure he has is so big. See, we don't want to be lost and we need to do three things tonight that we see in the text. And the first thing we need to do is trust God. Trust the God who knows you. Trust the God who made you, who shaped you, who has all the days ordained to you written in his book before one of them came to be. Trust him with what he has for your life and where he's taken you in life because he has it. What song did we sing? Hold Fast. What a beautiful song. I never heard that before. Maybe I did. I just forgot. But I love that song. Mary, can we sing that sometime? Thanks, Mary. It just spoke to me. He holds us fast in this life and he'll keep us. So trust him, beloved. Trust him, cadets, and you won't become lost. Second thing we need to do is we need to climb some trees. Because when we get lost, we need some perspective, don't we? We need to orient our lives to something. When I got up in that tree in Oak Grove, I realized the river was that way, so I oriented to where I needed to go. I knew the direction. When we lived in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's a valley, and there were mountains, different mountains in each corner, and there were hills and mountains out to the west. So every time I got away from the buildings, I wanted to know where I was. I just had to look around. Okay, I go that direction. We need to orient our lives. We need to find a compass in essence that we can look to every single day. We need to find something big to connect with. I would say that Scripture is our compass. The Bible, his word, his truth, which is the only truth and is the only truth for life in this world. If we can orient our lives to this, we will always have direction. If we take some time to do our devotions, to go to church, read our Bibles, listen to the devotions when your parents have them at supper time. How many of you guys just kind of go, oh, still we got to read the Bible? I did that for so long. I wanted to go, but we had to read the Bible. Let's go, I want to leave, I want to read. But take the time to listen. Take the time to orient your life to the truth of God, and that will be something that you could always trust to know the direction you need to go in. Spend time with it, please. I encourage you to do so, because if you can make it a habit now, you'll have a habit for hopefully the rest of your life. And lastly, we need to listen. When I'm up in that tree, and I got quiet, and he got quiet, you know, and all of a sudden I could hear. And our lives are so filled with noise. Your life is so filled with noise that you need to take this time, a perspective with this word, and you need to quiet yourselves. I would suggest, please get a Bible. Don't use your phone to read the Bible. Because your phone's going to beep at you. Your phone's going to say, I got to do this. It's going to distract you. Phones are good. I'm not trying to beat them to death, okay? But what I'm saying is, take time in the quietness and listen to his voice. Listen to the words of your parents who love you. Listen to those words of people that want to speak his grace in your life, your counselors, your pastors, those teachers. Trust that God is working through that. And listen carefully. And he will speak and lead you in the direction away from destruction. And he will show you the way home. You will see how you are to live for Jesus, as your song says. And you'll understand that you are his. And he is with you, will never, ever let you go. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And I pray not just for the cadets, but all of us in this room, myself included. We first thank you for the grace we have received, and you sought us. And before we even knew you, you knew us. And even while we were still sinners, you died for us. And you brought us into relationship with you so that we would not be lost. You sought after us because we are yours. And Lord, also help us not to keep being lost. Help us with the distractions. Help us with life. Help us to get perspective. Help us to trust you. And help us to listen for your voice. Thank you for all that you teach us tonight. And we thank you for all that you provide. We thank you for cadets. We thank you for the leaders. We thank you for this year that they've had and the year that they'll have the rest of this year. And then thank you, dear Lord, that you shape and mold through it. And may they have wonderful, dear Lord, times together and just bless it. And may they learn about you. Bless the leaders, Lord, as they lead. Bless the cadets as they learn. And Lord, as we lead this place, just go with us. And the joy of knowing we belong to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.